Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning. I always say this is probably one of my favorite verses, but you know, folks, every verse in the Bible is my favorite. So I just find encouragement from Romans chapter 8 because I find myself, like many of you, many times we need peace in our life. Amen? And this world does not offer much peace today. Well, I want to talk about peace in Christ this morning, starting in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Isn't that wonderful passage of Scripture? Don't that offer you some encouragement today? Listen to what it says. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we find peace in the midst of our troubles. We find peace in the midst of all the storms. And Lord, we're encouraged this morning by your word. And Lord, I pray today if there's somebody here that needs peace in their life, Lord, may they find it. May they rest assured they'll find peace, not in the world, but in Christ Jesus our Lord. We give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, the greatest peace is in the world is not just knowing that you're saved. You know, that's all right. Not that you're a child of God. Not that the Holy Spirit is our guide. Not that heaven is our home. Not that this Bible is our book. Not that this church is our family. But the greatest peace, I believe, in the world is knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that we have been saved by Jesus, and by His grace we are kept, and we can never lose our salvation. Eternity is mine, folks. As a born-again Christian, eternity is mine. I'm a child of the King. I want to know this morning, are you a child of the King? You see, that's the greatest peace. You can know that you're saved, and knowing that you can never lose it ought to bring us peace in our life. Someone said, man, I don't know what we're going to do if the elections don't go very good. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to rest in Christ. I'm not worried about the election. Man, I hope and I pray that we'll turn back to God. But if not, I'm still God's child. I'll always be God's child. You see, first he offers us possession by the shepherd. You're his in Christ. And Jesus says, no man can ever pluck you out of my Father's hand. No man can take you away from God if you're his child. And I'm his child. I made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. 1975, I was a child of the King. And praise God, I'm still a child of the King. I may not always look like it, live like it, or love like it, but you know what? I don't go by feelings or appearances. I know what the Bible says. I know that Jesus Christ said, I'm his child by faith, by the grace of God, I'm his child, and no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. The promise of the Scripture tells me that I have the greatest peace in the world in his family. I am his. Listen to what the Scripture says. In Christ we have passed from death into life. Now Jesus came and said, I want you to have abundant life, and I want you to know abundant life. And part of that abundant life is simply knowing that I'm his possession. and I have ever promised in the Word of God that I'm His. And then the perfection of Christ's sacrifice. He was a sacrifice on Calvary, the perfect sacrifice on Calvary. And that perfect sacrifice secured our salvation in Christ. And fourth, I know I'm His by the perseverance of the Spirit. You know, it's not our working. Man, I had a friend the other day. I was talking to a young man, and I said, "Hey, you remember old so-and-so that's a preacher?" He said, "Yeah." I said, what's he doing now?" He said, "Well, he quit preaching." And I said, "What? He quit preaching?" He said, "Yeah. He couldn't do enough to keep himself saved. And so he just quit preaching." I said, "Yeah, I was afraid of that." You see, he worked for his salvation. He thought he had to do enough for his salvation. He thought he had this to do. And he found himself, he couldn't do those things. You can't be good enough. So he just quit altogether. Folks, I'm glad I didn't quit years ago, because I couldn't find myself good enough either. But you know, it's not the working that keeps us saved. It's that we are kept saved by the grace of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not my job to keep myself saved. It's God's Holy Spirit that keeps me. Remember, the Holy Spirit is our convictor. He convicts me when I'm doing something wrong, and I praise God for that. The Holy Spirit is our converter. He converted me. He's changing my life. Little by little, He's knocking off the rough edges of my life. And I know He's the completer. What He started, He will finish, the Bible says. So, the Bible says, he who has begun a good work. Now, it was God who began the good work, you see. Yeah, it was His faith that He gave me enough faith to believe His word. And one day, I chose to accept what Jesus Christ offered me, that free grace of salvation. And, you know, I became one of His child. And it's Him who's going to do the finished work. He began it. He will finish the work. Now, I said all of that. He is our possession. He is our promise. He is our perfection. And He is our perseverance. I said all of that to show you that we can have peace with God. And I want to read this passage of Scripture. And as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, I want us to think about salvation. I want us to think about the peace, the greatest peace in the world. You see, we can rest this morning in Jesus Christ because of the predestination of the saved. Look at what it says in verse 29. It says this, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." For those, the Bible says, that God has elected to be His children, part of His family, He will conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? That's an encouragement for me, because I know that He has called me. I'm His child, and He has predestined, it's just as good as finished work. He has predestined it that one day I will be made into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God knew, God knows who will be saved. That's God. He knows all of history. He knows everything. He knows the hair on your head. He knows your life front and back. Already, before you know it. Isn't that great to have a God like that? And the Bible says He predestined, He foreknew, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, I know some of you are saying, "Well, what about those who are lost?" Well, let me say, what about predestination for them? Listen. People ask about the doctrine of predestination all the time. The doctrine of predestination, folks, or election, is talking to the Christians. It has nothing to do whatsoever with a lost world. Predestination in the Bible, I believe, is used as an encouragement to the saved. I believe I'm encouraged by it. I don't know about you. Now, to the lost people, what about those who are lost? The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Isn't that great to know that if a lost person out there today wants to come to Christ, he can come? God says, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want that. Anybody that wants to can come. The Savior died for the whole world. He's there. God gave us a choice. Whosoever will may come. Now, God gives you a freedom of choice this morning. If you're here and you've never heard, been saved, God wants you to come to be saved. He sent His Son to die on the cross. That's the gospel message. That's the reason we preach the cross. That's the reason we exist, to tell people about the love of God, how He wants them to be saved. But you have a choice. You can say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with God. Well, if you don't want to have anything to do with God, you go ahead and live your life. God will leave you alone. You'll be a miserable person. You'll never have any peace. And the Bible says one day, if you reject Him, you'll spend an eternity. That's predestination, I guess, in hell. That's your choice. But God says, you know, I don't want you to go there. I want you to have peace. I want you to have life. I want you to have life abundantly. I want you to come to me. All who hear my word, come to me, He says. Everyone can come. Well, and isn't that great to know that nobody is rejected? They can come to God. And He said, if you will come to me, you are predestined to be made into the image of His Son. Oh, man. Isn't that great to know that one day we'll be made into the image of His Son? Remember the parable in Luke 15? The Bible talks about the parable of the lost sheep. There's 99 that are safe, the Bible says, and there's one that is lost. Now, listen. I've thought about this thing. 99 that are safe and the one that's lost. If I was in the business world, I would say that's pretty good odds, isn't it? You got 99 safe in the fold, only one that's lost. It's kind of like losing $1 out of 100. That's not too bad. I wouldn't mind it if I lost $1 out of 100. But that's not what Jesus thinks. You see, the Bible says that one lost, He leaves the 99 that are safe in the fold. And He goes out and He searches diligently. He's out there searching diligently, that shepherd is, till He finds that one that's lost. And He brings him back into the fold. God, 99 and losing one is not good enough for God. He says, I will not lose a one that the Father has given me. That's Jesus, folks. That's the promise of the Word of God. He's not going to lose a single sheep that belongs to Him. He said, all that the Father has given me, you see, shall come unto me. Every single one will be saved. That's God's promise. That's the Word of God. That's predestination. And that ought to encourage you this morning to know that if you belong to Jesus Christ, you're in Christ, He has predestined you to be made into the image. You know that He's not going to lose you. You can rest assured. You know what? There have been times in my life I thought, well, Lord, I don't know if, you know, I should keep preaching or not. I just don't know if I'm good enough. And you know what? I am not good enough. I'm just not good enough. But it's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. And when He says, I called you to preach. I didn't ask if you was good enough. I know what you're going to be. I called you. Let me finish the work that I begin in you. Let me do it. And you know, when I pull away myself and say, okay, God, let me clear out the baggage. And I let go and I let God use me. You know, I'm just amazed what God can do. It's amazing what God can do. Look at this. I want you to see this. In God's mind, it's already accomplished. Look at that. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, look at what it says. He also called. Now that word call is what? It's past tense. It's already happened. Amen? He not only called, he whom he called, he also justified. That word justified, that's past tense. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. In the mind of God, folks, it's already happened. As far as he's concerned, God knows what's going to happen. And as far as he's concerned, you're as good as in heaven if you're his child. He's also called you. He's justified you. He's glorified you. See? You're already there. The Lord determined in eternity past, and it was settled in his mind. He foreknew, I will not lose a single one that comes to me. Folks, that's encouragement to me. Justification, that seems to me, you know, when you're justified, that simply means that you are accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and God does a judicial act and says, he's righteous through my Son Jesus Christ. He looks at all my life, he knows all my sin, he knows all my baggage, and he says, the blood of Jesus has cleansed him. He's put his faith in my Son. He's righteous. Not my righteousness, but God's righteousness. He says, you're sinless. He looks at me and says, I completed work. I've called him. I've justified him. I've sanctified him. And I've glorified him. He's in Christ. Folks, now that ought to encourage you. That's the greatest peace that I can preach on today. If you're having troubles and you're in Christ, just say, praise God. I'm not always going to be like this. I'm going to be glorified one day. I'm going to be a perfect one day. And Jesus Christ will never lose me. Folks, justification declares us righteous. Sanctification means you've been set apart. Folks, this is a progressive work. It's not just a finished work. It's progressive. God is still working on me. God's still working on you. I know some of you. Man, he's got a big work, doesn't he? Amen. Amen. I know some of you real good. He is just chipping away big old chunks of you. Man, that's the way he does. He knocks away everything that doesn't look like his Son in your life. Some like Teddy said, through the trials and sorrows and through heartaches and pain, that's all right if he's making me more like Jesus every day. And as you deal with the sin in your life, and let me tell you something, you need to deal with it. You need to just pray it, confess it, and let God work in your life. As you learn to walk day by day in victory, that's what we're going to walk as. We can sing victory in Jesus, brother. You become more like Jesus. That's what sanctification means. You're becoming more like Jesus in this life. Now, folks, that's what we ought to be doing. More like the Master, the old song says. And then one day, God's going to call us home. That's glorification. You see, that's going to be a wonderful time. He says, John says, we shall be like him. What a blessed time that will be. You see, justification means that God has freed us from the penalty of sin. Have you been justified this morning? To do that, you need to come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're lost and you've never come to that point in your life, you need to say, Lord, I trust Christ. I trust him. I believe in him. I trust in him. I want to give my life to him by faith. Confess my sin, repent, turn from my sin, and let him live in your life. He frees you from the penalty of sin right then. Sanctification, that means that God has freed us from the power of sin. He sets us apart from the world. Now listen. You don't just continue to keep on sin willingly. You just have to say no. And as you grow in the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, as you live your life, you're becoming more like him. I said a while ago, that's sanctification. He knocks off the rough blocks through the trials and tribulations and things, and you get victory in your life. Man, that's freedom. You become more like him from the power of sin. Sin has no grip on you anymore. The Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. At the name of Jesus, old Satan has to flee. We got to start believing that. You know? I know a lot of Christians today are, they don't believe that. They said, well, you know, if God's all-powerful and everything, he ought to be working in me. He is working in you. Start using your faith in Christ Jesus. And glorification, well, that frees us from the very presence of sin. For the Bible says we're with him in heaven. There's no more sin there. He's our God. He's with us all the time, walking daily with us, fellowshipping with us. What a great, blessed time heaven's going to be. Don't miss heaven. And then let me tell you something else. We can rest because of the position of the saved. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who believe in Christ Jesus. Circle that word, in Christ Jesus. Man, you got to be in Christ if you're going to have eternal life. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Positionally, where are you? The Bible says there are only two places we can be. One, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Adam, that's the way of the world. That's sin. You're born with a sin nature. If you've never been saved, you're in Adam today. You're lost. You're in Adam. You need to get out of Adam. How do you do that? How do you get in Christ? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. That simply means you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you're in one or two. You see, you're in Adam. If you want security in life, it's not in a place. It's in a person. The person is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our guide. Every time I think about this, I think about the story of Noah. Noah and the ark. God said to Noah, Noah, I want you to get inside the ark, and I'm going to send a flood, and everyone that's not in the ark will be destroyed. Well, Noah preached the word for 120 years. His sons and wives, and you know about the animals. God sent the animals. Well, that was the only way they could be safe. You see, God was in that ark with Noah. If Noah was going to have to drown, God would have had to drown. You see, because Noah was in God in that ark. Jesus Christ is a symbol of, or the ark is a symbol of Jesus Christ. If we are in Jesus, if we are in Christ, you will make it safely through this life. No matter who's elected, no matter how things go in the future, no matter if communism takes over in America, no matter if America falls, which I do believe one day it will, because we're going like the way of the world. No matter what happens, folks, if you are safe in Jesus Christ, you see, let me ask you a question. In the ark, when they're having a storm out on the outside, I have rowed in a big ship in a storm. Ron and I took a cruise, and we got the best timing in the world. We took a cruise when Ivan was coming through. Y'all remember Ivan? Ivan was a tough character, boy. He could come through. It got to rock in that ship. I didn't want to say this to my wife. She was seasick, and I wanted to be a man. But, man, my insides were going like this, too. And I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. Every time I looked at the waves outside, I'd get sick. Every time I looked at somebody on the inside, I felt sick. But I didn't want to tell her that. I said, baby, you need to go lay down. Maybe y'all run down there, we should see the ship's doctor and get something for this. You know? Noah in that ark was probably the same way. And he probably, you know, as it rocking you, he might have staggered. He might have tripped. He might have stumbled. But let me tell you something. He could have never fallen out because God shut the door. And folks, in Christ Jesus, we stumble sometimes. Our walk is not always what it should be. Our talk is not always what it should be. And God help us. I pray that when we fall and stumble, we'll confess it and get it right. But you will never fall out of Jesus Christ. You are in Him. You are safe. God has shut the door, and you can never fall out of Christ. You are safe and secure. That is what security of the believer means. The sacrifice was great. That's predestination of the saved. We're going to be made in the image of Christ. That is the position of the saved. We are in Christ, and no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Look at what it says down in 31 or 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, folks, that ought to settle it in your mind. That ought to give you encouragement to face each day, no matter what happens. November the 6th or 7th, whenever it is, go vote. No matter what happens, folks, if you're in Christ, you're all right. Not only that, let's move on to letter of the prayer. Rest in peace in Jesus Christ for the prayer of the Savior. In John 17, chapter, verse 9, this is what it says. Jesus is praying for His disciples. Listen to what He says. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, Father, for they are Yours. Isn't that good? And all Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them. You know, God's glorified in us. Now, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, talking about His children. And I come to You, Holy Father, keep through Your name those whom You have given Me, that they may be one as We are one. Isn't that wonderful that God, Son, Jesus, who is God? I'll have to do that later. He's praying for His disciples. And He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name. Those whom You gave Me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that Scripture might be fulfilled. He's talking about Judas. Now I come to You, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in them. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Now listen to this prayer. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus says, Father, I'm not praying that You take these out of the world, but You keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. Look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. He's talking about His disciples. But look at this. But also for those who will believe in Me through their word. Now, you know what He just said? He's praying for you. Amen. He's prayed for me. 2,000 years ago, when I read that, I got a hallelujah experience, boy. He prayed for me. I have people all the time say, Brother Booney, will you pray for me? I say, why? They'll tell me the reason. One lady said, Brother Booney, when you pray for me, I get encouraged. I said, praise God. I'm always willing to pray for somebody, lift him up to the throne of grace, because it encourages them. Jesus Christ prayed for you. 2,000 years ago, He prayed for you, and He said, Father, I do not pray for these alone, but all who You'll believe in Me through Your word. That ought to encourage you that Jesus Christ prayed for you. Man, friends, In the Bible, when Jesus prayed to the Father, he always answered his Son. And that ought to give you rest and peace in life, knowing that Jesus Christ prayed for you. And he said, Lord, keep him from the evil one. Oh, I can rest because of the prayer of my Savior. He's praying for me. He prayed for Peter. Somebody said, well, what about Judas? He didn't pray for Judas. Judas was not his. He's that son of perdition. Peter, oh, we remember Peter. He denied the Savior. Oh, but yeah, he had to be lost. He denied Christ. No, he wasn't lost. Jesus came back and Peter confessed, and Jesus said, yeah, Peter, I knew you was coming back. I knew it all along because you're mine. The Father gave you to me. No matter if you what you did, you've accepted my spirit. You can deny me three times again, but I'm still going to love you. You're mine, Peter. And he said, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know you know, Lord, everything about me. He said, feed my sheep. And that's what Christ wants you and I to do. No matter how we stumble, and we do stumble, just get back right with God. And let me tell you, I'm encouraged when I see people come down and pray because, you know, they're getting right with God. Just get back right with God and start feeding his sheep again. Start telling people about Jesus again. Okay, we rest in peace because of the predestination of the saved. He has predestinated us to be made in the image of Christ. Position, we're in Christ. And the prayer of the Savior, he's prayed for us. Not only that, let me go on. Because of the presence of the Spirit. Now listen to this. 1 John 4:13 says, hereby do we know. Hereby, listen to this closely. Hereby do we know that we're in Christ and he is in us because of the truth that he dwells in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And he says, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you're not mine. If the Spirit doesn't live within you, you are not his. Romans 8:14 says that. How can it be any plainer? Let me read that. Romans 8, I just lost my page a while ago when I turned. There it is, Romans 8:14. Let's listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, if you are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Isn't that amazing? For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, if you're not led by the presence of God, you'll never have peace. You see, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you'll never have peace because you're not saved. When you're saved, when you ask God to come in your life, he seals you at that time with his Spirit. Now, there's all kinds of religions out there that say you've got to be baptized. He baptizes you right there with the Spirit. How much more you want? Water don't do anything. It's an identification. But he seals you with his Spirit. He baptizes you with the Spirit. That's what he's talking about, folks. Listen, when you're saved, it should motivate you to live for Jesus Christ. You see, that's what motivates me. The Spirit of God, you know what he does? The Spirit of God directs my life. That's what God's Spirit does. Because he dwells in me. And he's directing me. He gives me guidance. He shows me the things he wants me to do. The Spirit of God, I don't have any wisdom of my own. The only wisdom I really like is God's wisdom. He gives you that wisdom by the reading of his word, and you learn his word, and the more you pour his word into you, the more the lights come on, and the more wisdom of God you get. He gives it by his teachings. Let me say that. The Bible says if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and let him start reading. You start reading the word of God, man, he'll teach you all kinds of things. He'll teach you what's sin and what's not sin, and you won't have to come to the preacher and say, is it all right for me to do this? It don't matter if I give you permission to do it or not. The Bible says, nope, it's not right. You don't do it. I don't care what the world says, you don't do it. That's God's wisdom. The Spirit directs you on the right path. And let me tell you something. If your life is not deeper in Christ, it's not richer in Christ, if it's not better in Christ, if you don't have the peace of God that's ruling your life, if your life is not more meaningful than it was when you thought you were getting saved, something's wrong with your salvation. Now, I didn't say you wasn't saved. I just said something's wrong. Because you're like a child when you're saved, and you should start growing from that point on. And if something's not growing, if you're not growing in the Word, if you're not having more peace, if you're not being made in the image of Christ, you look at your life. I'm just saying something's wrong. You better get with God and check it out, because something is wrong. And folks, I know some of you are going to say, that disturbs me, preacher. Well, it ought to disturb you. You see, that's what God set us to do. Preach the Word that it may touch your heart at the point of your need and disturb you. You know, I've been disturbed all my life. I came from Rusk. But let me tell you something. I may be disturbed, but it's in a good way. Folks, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed. I found the peace that passes all understanding, and that's in Christ Jesus. And there's no greater peace than knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. There's no greater happiness than knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Him today, would you come to Him? Would you come to Him simply by faith, saying, you know, I don't have all of those things. I don't have assurance. I don't have peace. I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Folks, would you do that? If you're here today and you know Jesus and your life is not richer or fuller, something's wrong, would you just come and get with God in a quietness of the moment and say, God, show me what I need to confess. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you pray honestly, He'll point His finger at you and say, right here. And if you get that right, well, what about all those things I've done in the past that He doesn't bring up? Listen, if God doesn't bring them up, don't worry about them. The old devil will bring them up, but don't worry about it. If God doesn't show you that, you just do what God tells you to do. You're here this morning. We have some visitors with us. Some of you are looking for a church home. If you're here this morning, you're looking for a church home, and God has said, this is the place, I want you to come, would you step out and come? Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You. God, we love You. And God, we thank You for the greatest peace in the world is in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank You that we can rest this morning in Christ Jesus. But if there's someone here today that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, or someone here that does and not living their life right, or You sent someone here, Lord, to join in this fellowship, would You touch their heart this morning and let them come? For it's in Your precious name we ask these things. Amen.